Today is special. We celebrate communion. We start a new year. We're 7 days in, sort of. We begin again with a fresh understanding of God's grace. Hopefully, with that week in between Christmas and New Year's and today, you guys have gotten some rest. Anybody feel rested? I didn't think so. Kids are back in school. How's everybody feel about that? Good, good. We have had some rest. We did get some days off of work. We did get some time with our families. And we should have new joy in our lives. We just celebrated Christmas. That's an incredible thing. It's been a time to hopefully to slow down and to enjoy some things. Each year as we come to this first Sunday of the year, I come back to, personally, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And I hang out there the first week of the year, the first of the year, every year in my brain, in my spirit, because of the things that it says and because of the implications that it has in our lives. It says this, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. And essentially, that verse says this. Last year is over. It's done. And no matter where I am in my walk with Jesus, I'm going into the next year, the next season of my life, forgetting all of that and working towards growing. And the word I believe the Lord has for us as a church this year is closer. Closer. Jesus is closer, and we want to be closer to him. That's the way that's going to work out as far as my message is going to go this morning. Our walk with Jesus is relational. It's relational, which means that it's something that we have to invest in. It's something that we have to put time into. And that relationship, just like any other relationship that we have, can fluctuate. Sometimes your relationship with your family is really good, and other times it's not. You want to skip this holiday dinner because, hey, we ain't talking to them because they've done something funky. Our relationship with Jesus is something that fluctuates. It's relational, but it only fluctuates on our end, which is really interesting because Jesus is the same. His love for us does not change. He is steadfast and secure. His mercy for us is new every day. And as we consider that as believers, knowing that being close to God is good, we go into this new year wanting to be closer to him. We have a lot of babies here in the room. One of the most wonderful experiences, one of the most wonderful things we can experience as adult humans is baby snuggles. If you've ever had a baby just snuggle into your arms or snuggle into your chest, and even as they get to be about one-ish, they start to smash their face into your face. It's really a wonderful thing. It's just sweet. And I say that as a burly guy and rough around the edges and a crazy person. Baby snuggles are awesome. Babies have a tendency to just snuggle in and be as close as they can possibly be. They like to start here and then be here in your whole face. Doesn't matter if you can breathe, they don't care. And then as soon as they get as close as they can be, they try to be closer. They kind of wiggle. And that is, to me, a wonderful picture of the way that our relationship with Jesus ought to be, as we desire to be that close and working to be even closer. Closer means to draw near, to become intimate, to tighten your vicinity, which is a funny way of saying closer, to tighten your vicinity. To draw near. The closeness that we have with Jesus, my proximity to God, determines so many things in my life. That's something that I've come to understand as I've grown as a human. The proximity between me and Jesus, the closeness that I have with God, determines a lot of different things. It determines how I feel. It determines how I respond to things. It determines the way that I see other things in the world. Even if everything else in the world is the same, my closeness to Jesus determines so many things. We're just saying, I won't be overwhelmed. And for a moment, I felt like, hey, that's a lie. I feel pretty overwhelmed at the moment. And then I stopped to worship. And I got on my knees and I said, hey, it's all done now. I'm just gonna worship. And that closeness to Jesus allowed for everything else just to say, okay, it's done, throw it all away. I don't have to be overwhelmed. My proximity to God determines so many things in my life. The promises are still there, but the closeness determines how much I feel and respond to them. When Adam isn't close, some of those things that I know are God's promises don't feel true to me. And again, it only fluctuates on our end. Jesus is closer. That's something that we need to understand. Jesus is closer. As we go into 2024, this is a natural progression of history. Jesus said he was coming back. He didn't come back last year, so we're obviously closer to the time that he's coming back, right? Does that make sense? That's the way math works. We're just progressing down a timeline. There is a specific time in the future where Jesus is returning. That's what the Bible says. And so if it didn't happen yesterday, then it's more likely that it'll happen today. That's probability. If it doesn't happen today, it's even more likely that it'll happen tomorrow. And even more likely, and even more likely, and even more likely as we get closer and closer and closer to the end. Jesus is closer today than he's ever been before to his return. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. He said, look, I am coming soon. He's coming back. And soon, to me, indicates that there's a closeness to it. With every passing hour, every day, every week, every year, we are closer than ever to the return of our Lord. The time when the Bible describes that he will call his people up, that he will reign. If we look at the world around us, you can see that. Things that were written about 2,000 years ago suddenly seem not only possible, but incredibly likely to unfold. There was a time where the Bible talks about all the nations coming against Israel, and I thought, well, that's kind of silly because the United States is such a strong supporter of Israel. And that was true. It's becoming less and less true. Because now, as you scroll the internet, Free Palestine is the banner that people are flying across all of their social media. The minds and the hearts of the people in our country are changing. We're not far off. Some of the things that seemed impossible, and I'm not a doomsdayer, I'm not trying to be crazy, I'm not saying it's happening tomorrow. I'm saying some of the things that seemed impossible to me in Revelation, now through technology, through just the way the world is spinning, are incredibly possible. Jesus is closer. by just the nature of each passing hour, he's closer. By the evidence of what was prophesied, he's closer. Throughout the year, people will come to me and they'll say, hey, did you see this? I just saw this on the internet. Prophecy coming true. Hey, did you see this? Miracles or judgment happening in real time around the world. Jesus is closer. And I'm not saying he's here. I'm not saying it's tomorrow. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. We don't know. It wasn't yesterday. It hasn't been yet this morning. But the day is still young. And if we get to go to heaven in that transaction, it's okay if he comes between my sermon and lunch. Because we get to go to heaven, right? That's the whole deal. Jesus is closer. And because Jesus is closer, we should want to be closer to him. So that's our part. He is coming back. Everything becomes more and more urgent for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 says, the end of all things is near. This was written 2,000 years ago. So if it was near then, it's more nearer now, right? That's the way that works. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Peter wrote, hey, the end of all things is near. You should focus on these things during that time. During the time that it's close, these things are super important for you as the church to put your focus on. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded. Above all, maintain constant love. Be hospitable. Use your gifts to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. All of those things are things that he says we should be focused on. And all of those things draw us closer to Jesus. He says, if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. His glory is most important. First thing that we have to know is what separates us from God. The reality is, at the beginning of time, mankind sinned. Sin entered into the world, and every one of us are sinful people. You don't have to teach sin to nobody. I got babies that, as soon as they can speak, they can lie. We've got three-year-olds running around our house saying, asking a question, hey, can I have that banana? And you say no, and then they say, did you say yes? Deception in a three-year-old. Nobody had to teach her that. It just happened. Hey, Dad said I could do this. No, Dad did not say. Dad did not say. The thing that we have to know is that sin causes separation between us and the Lord. And it's sin in our lives. It's our personal sin. That's what causes separation between me and God. It's not your sin that causes separation between me and God. It's mine. It's the stuff that I have going on in my own world, the stuff that I don't talk to you about, the stuff that God said was wrong, and I did it anyway because it made me feel good. It made me happy in the moment. It kept me out of some other sort of trouble. Whatever the situation is, sin. We have to understand why sin separates us is because we choose sin over God in that moment. The Bible tells us that we have not been tempted beyond what any other man has been tempted. What is normal to man? It's all normal. every time we're tempted, there's a way out of that. It may be uncomfortable. But if we're separated from God, it's because of our sin. Our response to that should be to mourn that, hey, I chose this over God. I chose sin over a Savior. We learn to hate that and repent from it. Ask forgiveness, move on. Something we have to do to maintain our closeness to the Lord. It's an incredible thing. If you start, we were just talking about proximity. As you let sin creep into your life, your proximity to God naturally degrades. You slip further and further away from Him and His presence. That's just the way that it happens. And then all of a sudden, things that were not at all acceptable for you are suddenly plausible. Your language changes, your behavior changes, your relationships change. Because Jesus was keeping you as this, you made a decision to come over here. As individuals, we've got some sin to take care of. As we desire to be closer. That's what causes separation. As the church, to maintain our closeness with Jesus, we maintain our focus on the three things that we call the mission of our church. The first is to glorify God. That's the most important thing that we do here, is to glorify God. The second thing is to equip the saints, to give you the things that you need to live this life and to do the things that you have to do in it. The third thing is to share the gospel, where we believe that it is our responsibility to go into the world and tell them about Jesus. As we do those things, as a church, we maintain a closeness to Jesus and we grow closer to Him all the time. We derived our mission as a church from passages of Scripture like that one earlier from 1 Peter 4. We prioritize here that God is glorified first. The ways that we do that are through what we attempt as excellence in corporate worship. As much as we can, we do worship really, really well. We gather together and have times of fellowship because the Bible says that is a thing that we're supposed to do. We look for instructions in here, and then we live that out in real life as much as we can. We filter everything that we do through this thought process. Does this glorify God? Does it cause separation? We aren't spending money to spend money. We aren't doing things that waste time or energy. We know we exist to glorify God. If God shuts the doors here because He decided to, we will go somewhere else and glorify Him there anyway. It's not about making sure we have a beautiful building. It's not about making sure that we have all the nicest things. It's about glorifying God because Jesus is closer and we want to be closer to Him. So we glorify Him. We make His name great. We give Him glory. We sing about all the things that He's done, and we continue in that. And as we continue in that, we grow closer and closer. We equip the saints. The structure of our preaching ministry, our youth and children's ministry, our adult Bible studies are set up to a point that they cover entire books of the Bible at a time. Before moving on, covering every aspect of Christian living in a very in-depth way. It's fun to be in youth group and be stuck on the first three verses of a book for 6 months because that is where we needed to be. Or to spend 2 years going through the book of Romans because it's thick and we should have probably spent 4 or 5. Because we want to cover everything. We want to be in depth. We want to equip you with the things that you need. We need you to know how to manage your finances, and the Bible talks about that. We want you to know how to raise your children. The Bible talks about that. We want you to know how to go about doing your job. The Bible talks about that. So we cover those things as the Bible talks about them in full spectrums of the book, and it's really awesome because Elmer will be going through something, and that'll come up just next in the Bible. It'll be right there. Exactly when we need it to be. something will happen in our church, and oh, that's the very next passage of Scripture. It's incredible because we're just there. And we're doing this in a very methodical way. And God ordained that, I guess, a year ago, because I planned what I'm going to preach. I mean, when we were in Romans, it was really easy. Once, we just planned we're going to preach through Romans, and then we lived there. But we talk about and think about and pray about what we're going to be preaching for the next year or 2 years in advance. I already know. Pastor Dan's going to come and preach next week, and he's been living as a Presbyterian for a while. God save him. Down in Alexandria, he's been filling their pulpit for, since he retired from here, essentially he went there, and he's just been preaching almost every Sunday at the Presbyterian Church in Alexandria because he's an incredible person, and that's who they are. But when Pastor Dan was here, you know, we might know a week in advance what the sermon was going to be, where it was going, whatever. As a Presbyterian, he has to plan a few weeks in advance because they require him to submit his scriptures, I think, a month or 2 months ahead of time. So that's really funny to me because he was never a planner before, and now it's got to be planned out. Covering every aspect of Christian living in an in-depth way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, "We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." That is the goal of equipping the saints. "We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom." So Robert teaches an adult Bible study that goes further in depth than you would ever want to go into a thing, and it's an incredible thing to be a part of. It's coming to listen and to discuss and to talk about and to just go deeper into those things, and we're going to start that back up in a couple of weeks as soon as we get out of holidays, and me and Robert have a schedule figured out. As soon as we have a schedule figured out, we don't have one yet. As soon as we have that figured out, God willing, we're going to start those things back up. We're going to go. Because it's incredible and because we need it. Because those things bring us closer to God. As a church, we know we have to present that because that's what keeps us close. It's very easy for a church to become a country club. If we only get together for game nights, lock-ins, and food, you may as well be in the Boy Scouts because that's it, right? Or you may as well be at the yacht club, or you may as well whatever. This is a church. And all of those things are good, and we do them from the perspective of doing these things. And we share the gospel. We look at the way that Jesus shared the gospel, and sometimes it was in loud in large gatherings, and sometimes and more often it was very personal relationships. The way that he expressed himself and the Father, we imitate that through the development of relationships with individuals. And we do that more than broadcasting seeds. We don't do a lot of throwing things out. But there's a lot of people here because you had a relationship with one person who was in our church already. Because you had a relationship with one, you knew some people that were here. And those some people said, "Hey, you ought to." Personal relationships. We plant seeds very, very intentionally. And we do that because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This is what we share with the world. Be reconciled to God. That's what we do as a church. We attempt to grow closer to God by doing these things. We preach Christ and Christ crucified until he returns. As a church, we make that our focus. As individuals who do all the things we just talked about, our focus has to be more intimate. And the way that we grow closer to God, the way that we change our proximity, is mostly through prayer and personal discipleship. one of the most important things that you can do, and it seems overly simple, one of the most important things you can do is just to spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Bible. That sounds really simplistic. It's really difficult to apply on any sort of scale. Because maybe you decided at the beginning of this year, hey, I'm going to read through the Bible this year, and it's day 7, and you forgot yesterday. So you're a day behind, but you're definitely going to catch up this afternoon. Except you won't, and so tomorrow you'll be 2 days behind, and then by Thursday you're a week behind, and you know what? I'm just going to listen to the Bible instead, and then I'll get... We fall away from it very quickly. It's very simple to say, significantly harder to do. And some of that comes from our lack of intimacy with the Lord. Because coming to church is an activity that I can train my brain to do all the time. Loving Jesus is something that I have to have in here. Loving Jesus is something that I have to develop in myself. One of the most important things that we can do to grow closer to the Lord is just more time with Him. Time in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert in thanksgiving. Time in worship. And not just worship as we come together as a church, but worship in your own house. It's really fun to hear children worshiping. It's really fun to hear teens worshiping. It's really fun for teens to send me worship songs on and videos and things. That's really exciting to me because they're worshiping. They're sharing that stuff. And as we do that in our own lives, we grow closer to Jesus. It's hard not to be in love with the Lord if you're singing about how wonderful He is and you're recognizing that in your own life. And music on all levels is romantic and incredible. It's full of love. It's full of joy. Full of emotion. Time in personal Bible study cannot be skipped. It cannot be underestimated. In the world of people who spend time at the gym, there's kind of an ongoing joke that most people skip leg day. It's like a thing where you just like, it's not super important because people aren't looking at your legs, right? So Ron's a gym nut. I mean, he likes it. It's part of his regular routine. He goes to the gym. And skipping leg day is super easy. Here's why. Because Monday is back and biceps, and Tuesday is whatever, chest, and I don't know. But you get, like, there's just not enough days, and so I may as well skip leg day. I've been carrying myself my whole life. My legs are pretty strong. My legs are pretty strong. We can skip it, right? Look, it looks pretty nice, and it's fine. Right? So it's really easy to just glean over that and say, oh, no big deal, it's over. It's really easy to do that same thing with reading the Bible. Hey, I know the Bible. I've been listening to somebody preach the Bible to me for 82 years. I know it already. I've read the Bible a few times at camps. I've listened already. And so we kind of, hey, this is fine. I don't need. But it's critical. It's critical. Our walk with Jesus is relational. If we want to be closer to Him, we've got to spend time with Him. You can be married and never be home, but it ain't easy. And it ain't good. This last week, I had a shutdown project on Tuesday and Wednesday, and so I did some prep for that on Monday, and the shutdown project goes into late hours of the evening, and And so I was just not home all week. And then when I was home, I was overly tired. And so I really just wasn't at my house all week long. It's hard to stay married if you're going to be not at your house all the time. It's hard to have a relationship with anybody if you're not in communication, if you're not spending time. I forget family members exist because we haven't talked. Oh, yeah, I do have that cousin. I do have that person in my life. We haven't had a family reunion ever, so they don't exist to me. I had a family member recently move back from Arizona. My mom said something about them the other day, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot they lived here now because they're not part of my world on a day-to-day basis. I'm glad they're back, I guess. Maybe. And I don't mean that to be offensive. We just don't have a relationship. Our walk with Jesus is relational. Time together is necessary. The next 21 days, as we go into prayer and fasting as a church, and I cannot encourage you more to do that. Do it with us. My prayer is that that's a jump start for the year of a closeness with Jesus that we've never had before. That passage that we went through earlier, I think in Colossians, talks about loving one another, covering a multitude of sins. That's another way we grow closer to Jesus, just to love one another. Because guess what? The people that are sitting in this room, most of them are Jesus people. Coincidentally, these are people that Jesus loves, whether you do or not. So, love one another. Because if you love them well enough, if you love them enough, you're probably less likely to get annoyed that they didn't do the thing that they said they were going to do, or they didn't show up for the thing that they needed to show up for, or they didn't do their part in the whatever, or they intentionally messed up your day. If you love them enough, it's fine. Our relationship covers that. Love covers a multitude of sins. If you're going to love Jesus, you got to love his people. And we are messy folks. Messy. Messy people. Sinners. All of you. Just some people's kids. I mean, I'm telling you. Loving one another covers all of that. I love you enough that you can get away with some stuff. It brings us closer to the Lord. A wonderful thing about our relationship with Jesus is it doesn't really matter where you are right now. You can get closer. And what I mean by that is you can have walked with Jesus for 80 years in your life and still get closer. You can have committed heinous crimes against the Lord yesterday or this morning and be close this afternoon. It doesn't really matter where you are right now because Jesus doesn't change. You go through that process of repentance, Jesus does the rest, and you're fine. You can be as close to the Lord as possible right now. We're starting our year here in church, surrounded by wonderful, sinful Jesus people. Going forward with the same desire to be closer to Jesus than we ever have before. We're going to go into a time of communion. And if you aren't where you want to be, this time is for you. Eden, can you come up and play some music? If you think you're doing pretty good, hey, I've been reading my Bible. Hey, I do have time in worship. I do have these things. I am faithful to the local church. I am giving. I am loving. I am growing. I am doing all of those things. Then this time is for you to get closer. to dig deeper, to smush your face against the face of Jesus, to love him more as he is steadfast.